Beitza Daf Chaf Ches. We are starting with the Mishnah on the bottom of Chaf Zayin Amud Beis. Mishnahs from here until the end of the parak is going to take us through a collection of Mishnahs that deal with Uvda Dechol. Meaning that on Yantav, despite the fact that there are a number of activities which are permitted, nevertheless the Chachamim wanted to make sure that we still preserve the sense of Yantav. And despite the fact that there are certain things which we're going to be doing which seem like weekday activities, nevertheless, they are perfectly fine on Yantav. On the other hand, the Chachamim wanted to still have us maintain a sense of Yantav. And so therefore, a category which is, quite frankly, a little bit difficult to give good parameters to, but the Chachamim said that things cannot be done on Yantav in the way that they're normally done during the week, and this falls into the category of Uvda Dechol. Better than trying to give a overall definition of Uvda Dechol, we'll just see it through the examples given in the upcoming Mishnayos and the Gemara, and hopefully it'll give us a sense of what the Chachamim were trying to achieve in terms of having us view the day of Yantav as, in fact, the day of Yantav. This Mishnah that we're about to learn together is going to be covering the purchasing of an animal on Yantav, generally speaking on Shabbos and Yantav. So Mekach u'Memkar is Aser. One is not allowed to engage in normal transaction. You can't have any kind of business transaction occurring on Shabbos nor on Yantav. It is not a malacha, it is, and this is the Rabbanan. And generally speaking, the assumption is that it's us mid the Rabbanan because you're going to end up writing down, as normally business dealings are ratified with a contract. But nevertheless, the Anyantiv, so one is allowed to go ahead and purchase food, and what we're going to be discussing now is the hows. How exactly is one going to be able to be purchasing food Anyantiv? And again, the idea is still preserving the Kedushas Yantiv. So, Ein Nimnim Al HaBehem L'Chadchil B'Yamtav Aval Nimnim Al HaMeir of Yamtav V'Shochtin Mechalkin B'Neihem. So first thing the Mishnah tells us is that ideally, one should not have literally registered over an animal on Yantav, but rather before Yantav. But the way Rashi understands this is that a price should not be agreed upon on Yantav itself, but rather the price should be established already before Yantav. That's what the Mishnah says when it says, Aval nimnim alahem me'erev Yantav. However, in the event that, let's say, the price is not established before Yantav, shochtin u'mechalkin beinem. What you'll do is you'll shech the animal and you'll divide the animal amongst the people there. Now, the Mishnah is saying that if you did not do what ideally should have been done, which is establish the price prior to Yantav, so then on Yantav, so the Mishnah says, shochtin u'mechalkin, you shechtin, you divide. And the Gemara's question is very simple, my ein nimnin. What exactly does the Mishnah mean? So I'm reviewing Amr Shmuel, Ein Poskin Damin L'Chatchil Abehema B'Yantov. Okay, so the Gemara gives the explanation, which I was privy to because simply I knew the Gemara going into the Mishnah. Rav Yehuda Amr Shmuel's explanation of the Mishnah is that one should not be talking about money on Yantov, meaning the price for how much it's going to be should already have been established prior to Yantov. With that in mind, we go on to the next part of the Gemara, Hechi Avid. So what do you do in the event that the price has not been established prior to Yantav? So Amarav, maybe Shtei Behemos, or Ma'amidim Zu Eitzel Zu, V'Amar Zu Kazu. So the Gemara quotes B'Shem Rav that what you're going to do is basically a comp. Meaning to say that on Yantav itself, so you're going to go to the butcher, and because you have not yet established what the price is going to be of this animal, and because you cannot talk about a price on Yantav, so what you'll do is you'll just simply establish what is a comp. An animal that's comparable to the animal that you are currently now purchasing. And so what you'll do now is you'll identify what the comp animal is. After Yantav, you're going to go back to the butcher. You're going to take a look at the comp, assess how much the comp is, and pay him based on the fact that this animal is very similar to the animal that you, in fact, went ahead and purchased on Yantav. Tayinah Mehachi, the Gemara quotes, Abraham is supporting this very idea. Lo yomar adam l'chaver harenim chabesela harenim chabishtayim. A person cannot say to his friend on Yantav, I'm in for one sela, I'm in for two ava, omar lo harenim chalamechze l'shush revia. What you can do is talk about a percentage, how much of the animal you're going to go ahead and purchase. So if, in fact, you want in an animal, so what you should do is you should talk about the percentage of the animal. And then, again, if this was not already, if this wasn't already agreed upon prior to Yantav, and then on Yantav itself, so you just simply say, I'm in for a quarter, half, whatever percentage you want to go in. And again, use the method of finding a comp animal so that you know how much the animal is in total. And then after Yantav, we'll figure out what the price of the comp animal is. And then you'll pay whatever percentage it is that you took of the animal. We turn to the top of Chav Chesamon Aleph, and we are starting with the Mishnah on the top of the Amud. Rabbi Yehuda Amr Shokol Adam Basu Keneged HaKli HuKeneged HaKupitz V'Chachamim Omrim Ein Mashgichim. Bikaf mazayim kol ikar. Basic machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim in terms of how to use the scale on Yantav. Again, the overarching idea over here is that it is Yantav, and despite the fact that there are purchases that are allowed to be done on Yantav in terms of food, nevertheless, Kedushas Yantav should be maintained, and it should not be done the way that it's done during the week. That's the basic idea. But as far as the machlokes between the Tanaim over here, so Rav Yehuda says that you could use a scale, you'll just use it in an unusual manner. In that, on the counterbalance, you won't use a standard weight, but you'll use a kli, a kupitz, some sort of utensil, some sort of instrument. You know what the weight of that item is, but it's not a standard weight measure. And so therefore, according to Rav Yehuda, that's enough of a shinui so that it is no longer considered uvdu dechol. According to the Chachamim, you're not allowed to use a scale at all. The usage of a scale in and of itself is too much of a weekday activity, and so therefore, according to the Chachamim, so no allowance whatsoever is to use is given to use the scale. So Michael Iker. Now the Gemara wants to know that that's very strong language used by the Chachamim. What's meant by the Chachamim? Amar Viram Shmuel Afilu Shamro Min Ha'Achbarim. If let's say the only reason why you're putting the meat over there is not to weigh, but just simply to keep it in elevated areas so the rats don't get to it, so that you're not allowed to do. Amar Vidi Barabin Behud Detalya Bit Trita. Now that's only going to be problematic if the scale is hanging on its hook. So then the scale is acting like a scale, even though your intention is that you're not planning on using it like a scale. Nevertheless, by virtue of the fact that it's hanging on a hook and you're paying the meat on it, that already is enough where the Chachamim would be objecting to that activity. Gemara says over another halacha, which is that if you have a professional butcher, so he's not allowed to weigh meat by hand. Holding a piece of meat in one hand, holding another piece in another hand, or holding a weight in the other hand, and without a scale, but just simply eyeballing it. And because he does this all the time, he has an extraordinarily good sense of how much things weigh. So a tavach uman is allowed to do that on Yantav. Again, it's uvda dechol, too much of a weekday activity. Additionally, says the Gemara, you can't measure using water. The way Rashi describes it is displacement. You put the meat in the water, see how much water is being displaced by putting the meat in, and that is also an activity that one is not allowed to do on Yantav. We all understand that displacement is not measuring the weight, it's measuring the volume. Okay, still, according to Rashi, that's a prohibited activity, it's uvda dechol. You're not allowed to make a handle in the meat. The way they used to carry the meat home back in the good old days is after the meat got shechted, you'd be walking home with a really large piece of meat, and so a handle was actually built into the meat itself. Using an instrument, you basically would forge a small little hole within the piece of meat so that you could just simply now pick it up with that hole that was created, and that serves as your handle. Amar Avinu v'yad shari. However, says the Gemara, that if you're going to be making the hole, not using an instrument, but using rather your fingers, you're going to dig your finger into the meat in order to create the handle, so it's an unusual manner, it's no longer uv de dechol, and that would be okay. Amravuna mutal aso siman babasar. One is allowed to make a marking in the meat in order to identify that it's your meat. Ki had rava baravuna mechatech la atlas karnasa. The Gemara notes that that rava baravuna would cut the meat in a triangular shape in order to make sure that people knew that it was his. Now the Gemara over here is quoting a Gemara in Chulin. The Gemara in Chulin is really primarily discussing basar shenis alim min ha'ayin. Meat, once it is no longer under observation, and once it's out of view, so that meat is going to be also. The Gemara in Chulin discusses this at length. If, however, there is something that marks the meat and clearly demonstrates that it's your piece of meat, so then there is no longer an issue of basar shenis alim min ha'ayin. So really the truth of the matter is that the Gemara over here is kind of borrowing the idea of Rava Baravuna over here, in that if one wants to cut the meat in such a manner on Yantav, even though one could make the argument that that's a weekday activity, the Gemara says it is fine. It's perfectly a legitimate way of going ahead and scoring the meat. Rabbi Chiv, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shokli, Manak, and Agedman, Nabi Yom Tov. So the Gemara notes that Rabbi Chiv, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi, so they would weigh one piece of meat against another piece of meat on Yantav. That means to say that they bought an animal and they were dividing the meat and they wouldn't be using the weights and they wouldn't be using any counterbalance. What they would just simply do is weigh one piece of meat against another piece of meat in order to make sure that each one of them gets their fair share of meat. So the Gemara says, this practice, Rabbi Chaim, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi, is following? Seemingly nobody. So come on, look, Rabbi Yehuda, look, Rabbanan. Ik Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shokol Adam Basa Kenegad Aklu, Kenegad Akupa. So if they were following the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, will Rabbi Yehuda allow us for measuring against unusual items, against the Kli, against the Kupa, Kenegad Kli, in Kenegad Midach Rinalo. But only against unusual items can you counterbalance. And seemingly, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you would not be allowed to counterbalance against another piece of meat. And Ikar Rabbanan Ha'amri Emashkechem Bekaf Mazayim Kol Ikar. Now, according to the Chachamim, you can't use the scale at all. So this position that's taken by these late Tanaim, early Amoraim, Rabbi Chiya and Rabbi Shimon Brebi, seemingly is in no man's land. So the Gemara says, Inu Davika Rabbi Yoshua. So the Gemara says, well, there is a third Shita. We just haven't been introduced yet to that third Shita. And that's Rabbi Yoshua. At the time, Rabbi Yoshua, Amr Shalklin, Manik, and Agimana, Biyom Tov. So it happens to be the Shita of Rabbi Yoshua that says that one is allowed to weigh one piece of meat against another piece of meat on Yantav. And so obviously these Tanaim now are following the Shita of Rabbi Yoshua. To which the Gemara comments, Amar Rabbi Yosef halacha ki Rabbi Yoshua. Hov tanam b'bacharos kavasei. Rabbi Yosef would like to make an argument that the halacha in fact follows like Rabbi Yoshua, despite the fact that he's not brought down in our Mishnah. But if you look and you scour the other Mishnah, it's notably a Mishnah in Bechoros, you will see the Mishnah in Bechoros, in fact, is following exactly like Rabbi Yoshua. Did not psula mukdashim hanasim lahekdesh, vishok lemane kenekemane bebechor. This Mishnah over here, you can see this long Rashi that goes into great detail discussing this Mishnah. I'm going to give a really abbreviated explanation of this Mishnah, just simply as it relates to our topic of discussion, and that is comparing a Bechor to other Karbanos. When it comes to other Karbanos that become psule hamukdashim, meaning they become blemished and you're redeeming them, the halacha is that when you redeem them, you can redeem them in a normal manner. That means to say that you can sell it in the marketplace, and you can weigh it like you normally weigh it. And the reason why is because since the proceeds of the sale are going to the Beis HaMikdash, so despite the fact that there certainly is an idea of bizayin kachim, meaning when a carbon becomes disqualified and it becomes blemished, so it is, on one hand, the Kedusha has gone. On the other hand, it still has a residual Kedusha. It's called Psule HaMukdashim. And so selling it in the public is a bit of Bizayin Kachim. However, being that the proceeds go to the Beis HaMikdash, so therefore the Chachamim allow the sale, a public sale of Karbanos in general. However, the Mishnah then goes on to say in Bechor, that when it comes to Bechor, where the proceeds of the sale go to the Kohanim, like we just discussed the other day, when a Bechor becomes a Bamom, so then the Kohanim are the ones who are going to be benefiting from it. And so therefore, when a Bechor becomes Pasul, so one is allowed to weigh it, but only in an unusual manner. And that's what the Mishnah is telling us, that is Mana Keneged Mana, that one piece of meat against another piece of meat. So that Mishnah in Bechor certainly would seem to indicate that we do in fact follow like the Shita of Rabbi Yoshua. So Amalei Abai V'dum Alohi. Abai says, I'm not sure. I'm not sure if that Mishnah really is going to inform us regarding whether or not the halacha over here follows like Rabbi Yoshua. Because Ad kan lo kama Rabbi Yoshua hacha ela deleka bizayin kachet. Aval hasam deika bizayin kachet lo. Maybe Rabbi Yoshua over here would maintain the position that you can weigh in the meat one piece against another. It's yantiv, but it's considered unusual enough where it's allowed. However, when it comes to Bechor, maybe Rabbi Yoshua would not agree with that Mishnah in Bechoros. That Mishnah in Bechoros is an anonymous Mishnah, and the Gemara assumed that's going like Rabbi Yoshua, but now the Gemara is saying that maybe not. Maybe Rabbi Yoshua would simply say that in the area of Bechoros where we're talking about Bizayin Kachim, so maybe he would be more machmir, and maybe he would not allow the weighing of one piece of meat against another. Inami ad kan lo kami rabbanan hasam ala mishum de lo mechzik uvnin dechol. Avahacha de mechzik uvnin dechol lo. And the Gemara says, alternatively, that Mishnah, whoever the author of that Mishnah over there is in Bechoros, may not necessarily agree over here. The Mishnah in Bechoros, so it's talking about Bechor and Kachim. Over here, where obviously we're talking about Yantiv. And over here, the consideration of uvnin dechol. And it could very well be that the Chachamim over there would take a more strict position regarding Uvdin Dechol. Simply put, the two issues are two totally different issues, and what one position is regarding the issue of Bizayin Kachim is certainly in no way indicative of how you would feel regarding Uvdin Dechol of Yantav. And so therefore the Gemara says is that it's not necessarily good proof that just because we have a Stam Mishnah in Bechoros that sounds like Rabbi Yoshua, that doesn't necessarily mean that the author of that Mishnah is in fact Rabbi Yoshua. Anyway, what come out over here is that when Rebbe when Rabbi Chiya and Rabbi Shimon Berebi were dividing the meat, so they would weigh one piece against another. The Gemara wanted to know who they're following. The Gemara says they're following the sheet of Rabbi Yoshua. And now the Gemara just has a quick follow-up question over here, and that is, you get the sense that these Tanayim, again, late Tanayim, early Amoraim, that they wanted to make sure that each one of them got their fair share. And the Gemara says, now it happens to be that these particular Tanayim were really close to one another, and as close friends generally are, so they're not makbid one on the other. And certainly the sense of the story is that they were makbid, and the Gemara immediately follows up with a question. The Gemara tells a quick story where there were seven fish that were purchased, and of the seven fish, five of them found its way to the house of Rabbi Chiya, and the son of Rabbi Shimon Berebi, he didn't mind. So in other words, they were so close, they were such good friends, that it really didn't bother them that the division, the split, wasn't an equal division. So Amar of Papa Shidika of Rabbi Nayu, Rabbi Chiya, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Ubar Kapar. So the Gemara says, okay, so over here what we got is really half a story, meaning we got the outline of a story, but we didn't get the full story. And the truth of the matter is that the full story involves another Tana. So either it'll be Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi together with Rabbi Chiya, or Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi together with Bar Kapara. However it is, in other words, there's some other Tana that's involved in the story, and that's how the story, quote-unquote, makes a little bit more sense. Okay. Adkan, that takes us to the end of the discussion regarding weighing on Yantiv and using a scale on Yantiv, and the topic of Uvdin Dechol. We're going to come back to Uvdin Dechol, but in the meantime, for the remainder of today's daf, we're going to take a significant break from the topic of Uvdin Dechol, and we're going to talk about the Machshirei Ochel Nefesh. It's a topic that we already spoke about a number of times in the Masechta, but it happens to be that this daf, Beitza Daf Chav Ches, is really the principal area in Beitza where we discuss the topic of Machshirei Ochel Nefesh. Just as a quick introduction to the topic of Machshirin, so we know that Ochel Nefesh is Motar Anyantav. The Pasuk says, Ach Asher Yechol Ochel Nefesh, Ulevado Yaseh Lachem. We know that Anyantav, the Torah, gives an allowance to go ahead and perform various malachas in order to prepare food Anyantav. Good, and we already discussed the idea of mitoch shehuchal l'tzorech, huchanam shalol l'tzorech. So we have a basic idea of the heterim that allowed on yontiv in order to cook, in order to prepare food. Then there is what's called machshirei ochel nefesh. The machshirei ochel nefesh is basically any activity that is not directly working with the food itself, but it is a preparatory stage in the preparation of the food. So for example, you want a shech, but it happens to be that right now your knife is no longer working. It's either dull or there's a nick in the knife. So basically what you want to do is you want to sharpen the knife. Or we can even go a step further back and we can even say that for whatever reason you don't even have a knife. And would one be allowed to construct a knife on Yantiv in order to go ahead and shech? So any preparatory stage that doesn't actually address the food itself but gets me closer to preparing the food, so this is the category known as Machshirei Ochel Nefesh. Hopefully you remember the topic of Machshirin as we go back to Shabbos 19th Perek. Machlok is between Rabbi Elazar and the Chacham and whether Machshire Mila is in fact going to override the Shabbos. So there we had a lengthy discussion of Machshirin in a different context, and that of course is by Mila on Shabbos. Over here, however, we're having a discussion of Machshirei Ochel Nefesh and the question of whether or not that is Mutter or Usser on Yantiv. So what's going to come out? The Gemara is going to tell us twice in today's daf. So Machlok is tonight between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chacham. Rabbi Yehuda is a mekel. He allows for Machshirei Ochel Nefesh to be Docher Shabbos, although with limitation, which we're going to talk about a little bit later on. And the Chachamim say no. The Chachamim are of the opinion that no Machshirei Ochel Nefesh is Docher Shabbos, and only Ochel Nefesh itself is going to be Docher Shabbos. At the conclusion of today's daf, it will admittedly be confusing which position do the Amoraim prefer. And there will be a lot of evidence going in both directions. And so therefore, admittedly, by the end of today's daf, it will not be so clear-cut where the Amoraim stand on this issue of whether we passing like Rabbi Yehuda or whether we passing like the Chacham. With all that is by way of introduction, so let's start with the Mishnah. Mishnah on the middle of Chav Ches Amin Alvei Mashchiz and Es Asakim Yamtav, Ava Masiyah Al Gabe Chaverta. One is not allowed to sharpen a knife on Yantiv, but one can rub one knife against another knife. Gemara immediately starts off the discussion, Amar Avuna Lo Shanu Ela B'Mashchiz Shal Evan. the kind of sharpening instrument you cannot use is stone. Aval mashkes shel etz mutter. But if you are using a wooden sharpener, which admittedly is not going to be that effective, so that would be mutter. Now on this, Rabbi Yehuda has the following comment, which is that when we say that a stone you can't use, that's only to sharpen the knife. But if all you're doing is just scraping the fat off of the knife using a stone, so that would be okay. Which would then, by implication, tell us that if I'm using a wooden sharpener, so then I could use a wooden sharpener to not only scrape off the fat, but even to sharpen the knife. Now, some take the comment of Rabbi Yehuda Mishmuel and apply it to the second statement. Bishol Eitz Mutter. When the statement of Rav Huna was that Bishol Eitz is going to be Mutter, that a wooden sharpener is Mutter, so I'm Rabbi Yehuda Mishmuel, ha damar Bishol Eitz Mutter, lo aman el ha visham naseha. But that's only to scrape the knife in order to remove the fat off the knife. Aval chada da aser. But if I'm using the wooden scraper or the wooden sharpener to actually try to sharpen the knife, that's prohibited. Now, implicit in that is that if I'm using stone, so then I cannot use stone at all, not even just to remove the fat off of the knife. Some say that the statement of Rav Yehuda Mishmuel is not going on Rav Huna's statement, but rather goes back on our Mishnah. The Mishnah says that you're not allowed to sharpen the knife on Yom Tov. That's to sharpen the knife. Which means that if I am only just scraping it off, scraping off the fat, so that would be okay. So, now, implicit in that is that the next statement of the Mishnah, where the Mishnah allows you to run one knife against another knife, that would be even if you're trying to sharpen the knives. Now, some learn on the Seifa of Amasiya Agabe Chaverta. When the Mishnah says that you are allowed to run knives one against the other, that's only to remove the fat. But if I'm running the knives one against the other to sharpen it, then it would be prohibited. Implicit in that is that if I'm using the sharpener, the stone sharpener, so I can't use it, not even to remove the fat. Okay, so we have just covered four different versions of Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Two of them going on either the statement of Rav Huna, the first or second statement of Rav Huna, or two of them going on either the first or the second statement of our Mishnah. And again, depending on how we apply the statement of Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, it will then inform us in terms of to what degree is one allowed to use a sharpener, if at all, on Yom Tov. Mantan de Meshchezes Aser. But now the Gemara is going to take a step backwards, and the Gemara is saying that this idea that you can sharpen knives, so who is the author of this position? Who allows for the sharpening of the knives? Meaning the sharpening of the knife is not actually ochel nefesh. That's not working with the food on Yom Tov. That's working with a knife, which then in turn is going to work on the food. Again, what we've already introduced as machshirei ochel nefesh. So mantan de mashkesos asar amar v'chesel dolo k'Rav Yehuda. So the one who says that's prohibited is not Rav Yehuda. It's another way of just simply saying Rav Yehuda would permit it. D'tanya in ben Yom Tov v'Shabbos el ochel nefesh bevad Rav Yehuda matyaf machshirei ochel nefesh. So here the Gemara quotes, it's a Mishnah Megillah. We're going to see the Mishnah also later in our Masechta as well. And it comes up a number of places in Shas, a number of times in Shabbos as well. Anyway, the difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov is that in Yom Tov you have the Heter of Ochel Nefesh. According to Rav Yehuda, there's another difference, which is on Yom Tov you have Machshiri Ochel Nefesh. Now we're going to come back and we're going to explain the Machlokas a little bit better on the Amud Beis. Amalei Revel, Rav Chisda, Darshina Mishmecha, Allah Rav Yehuda. Rav says, Rav Chisda, I heard in your name that the halacha in fact follows like Rav Yehuda. I heard your mekel. Amalei hey Rav Avta chol kihani mili ma yasa tijushim mishmai. His response is good. I hope a number of smart things are said within my name. In other words, he acknowledges that he in fact does pasuk like Rav Yehuda, and he's not ashamed about it. Amar Rav Nechemi Bered Rav Yosef Havka kaim ne kama de Rava. At one point in time, I was in front of Rava. The Hava. And what he was doing is he was rubbing the knife against the side of a basket, atop of the Amud Beis. And now, what a fantastic halacha l'maisa opportunity. Meaning, I see that he's running the knife against the basket, but I'm not quite sure at this point in time. Is he just simply scraping the knife off, or is he actually attempting to sharpen the knife? Otherwise stated, is the halacha in fact like Rav Yehuda? So, His response, Vamarli Lavishan Rasel. So his response to me is that no, I'm just removing the fat off the knife. However, I'm taking a close look at what he's doing. He's not scraping off the knife. What he's really doing is that he's sharpening the knife because of halacha vein morin kein. But he's of the position that despite the fact that the halacha really does go like Rav Yehuda, but this is not something that you broadcast to the public. You do not tell people that the halacha in fact follows like Rav Yehuda. Now why not? Really interesting Rashi over here. Rashi, I'm reading. Rashi is Chavches Amud Beis, top line, second Rashi. Halachik Rav Yehuda, motor called Ish La'asos. So the truth of the matter is it's motor, meaning we do pasim like Rav Yehuda. Aval Ein Morin L'Rabim. But this is not publicly disseminated. Okay. Shelo Yizalzu Af B'She'ef Shel La'asos Mi Be'od Yom. D'chol Hani D'Sharin Kegon Sh'Nizkakul B'Yom Tov. O Shehayu Esmol Tarud. Even as Rav Yehuda allows Machshiri Ochel Nefesh to be done on Yontiv, that's only in one of two circumstances, says Rashi. Number one, the kilkol occurred on Yontiv, meaning the knife became nicked on Yontiv itself, which means that we didn't have opportunity to do before Yontiv. Or, says Rashi, Shaya Esmal Tarud, you were just simply too busy before Yontiv, which is really an interesting comment by Rashi. Rashi saying that if you were too busy before Yontiv, that falls under the category of E. F. Shar. Seemingly, that's a chiddush within Rashi. So because Rav Yehuda, as we're going to see later in this daf, is of the position that machshirin is in fact allowed, but only in the circumstance where you did not have an opportunity to do so before Yantav. So if you tell people that the halacha in fact follows like Rav Yehuda, so people are not going to be able to make this distinction of efshar versus the efshar, and quite frankly, the halacha will get abused. And that is why Rava felt that this is something that should not be broadcast to the public. We are back to the Gemara. We're going to hear a similar story. The Amar Abai Avakamni Kam Damar. I was in front of Mar. Remember, Abai learned by Rava. So Mar over here is a reference to Rava. So Vahava Kamav Itzakinna Sifso Derechaya. And he was running the knife against a millstone, which is interesting because it certainly sounds like he was running the knife against a stone. Where on the Amud Aleph, there were a number of versions, but a lot of the versions did not allow the usage of a stone at all. And again, the question, are you just scraping the knife or are you sharpening the knife? And his answer is that I'm just scraping the knife. And again, as I'm watching him, I see that he's not giving it to me straight. In fact, what he's doing is he's really sharpening the knife, and it must be that the halacha is in fact like Rav Yehuda, but he also is of the position that this is not something that should be broadcast to the public, and therefore, he wasn't that forthright with me. E bai lehu, ma'u laharosak lachacham yomtov is one allowed to show a knife to tamachacham on yantov. Just a quick background over here to this halacha. The Gemara in Chulin tells us in Daf Yizayin that when you are a shochet in a community, you should be showing your knife to the tamachacham of the community prior to your shechting. The Gemara over there says that's Alt Kavod HaRav. In other words, there's a certain amount of honor and respect that one is required to give to the Rav. And as a way of being Mechabed the Rav, so you show him the knife, he inspects it, he looks at it, not because he knows more than you, but just simply as an act of Kavod. So the Gemara wants to know, can this be done in Yantav? Meaning you're allowed to shecht in Yantav. Now, would it be all right for you to show the knife to your Rav? Now, the simplest answer to this is, as I would intuitively have stated, is that yes, meaning if you're allowed to shech, so then this is just simply part of the process, and that would be fine. As will become evident in just a moment, there are some who are of the opinion that it's not okay, and we're going to explain why in just a moment. Rav Mari Breda, Rav Bizne Shari, so Rav Mari says it's fine, Rabban Anasre, and the Chachamim say that it's Asr. So this position that it's usher, so what is that predicated on? So if you take a look at Rashi over here, Rashi Dibra Amaskal Ma'u Laharos. So Rashi says over here, Mimechse ku'uvde dechol de afshe milse shedat limkor be'iliz olomechse. Well, if you're showing it to the Talmud Chacham, so the consideration that it would be not okay, says Rashi, is because then it really starts to look like a weekday activity. Meaning, generally speaking, everyone's so used to the idea that you show your knife to Talmud Chacham, you shech the animal, then you bring it to the marketplace. And so if we do this on Yantav, so then everyone just so habituated with the idea that this is just a step, next step in the public sale of the animal, so this could be viewed as uvda dechol. That's Rashi's understanding of the Gemara. Rav Yosef Amar Tamachachem Rav Alatzma Mashul Acherim. So Rav Yosef says, well, there really is a way to get around this, and that is the Tamachachem could show the knife to himself, shech the animal himself, and then lend the knife to others, and that way, even if you subscribe to the idea that you're not allowed to show the knife to a chacham, but this is a way to go ahead and start sharing a knife in order to shecht anyantev. V'am Rav Yosef sakim she'amda mutal lechadada b'yamtov. Now Rav Yosef offers the following psak, which is that if the knife dulls, so that you're allowed to sharpen on yantav. V'animiluhu depaska agav duchka, but that's only where it just simply stops cutting, meaning that the blade itself is fine, it's not nicked, it just happens to be that it's just because of the usage, so it dulled. Rashi over here writes the following. You can see the Rashi inside, as I go through it inside. So Rashi, as I explained, says that the knife is not nicked, but it's just simply dulled. So Rashi says, look, the dulling of the knife is a gradual process. Already yesterday it started dulling. And basically what Rashi is wondering is, well, why don't we just simply say that this is something you could have sharpened yesterday? So the lo havale lasuke adaita me esmo de sever lo srichna. Aval nifkama me esmo lo havishari de muchala kilko shalav havale lemavin me esmo. So Rashi just simply notes that there's going to be a difference between the knife dulling versus the knife receiving a nick. If the knife received the nick before yantiv, so then by all means, so one should have fixed it yesterday, and therefore there is no allowance whatsoever to sharpen the knife today. On the other hand, when it comes to dulling, because it's gradual, and because it's not perceptible the moment that it really goes to the point where you can't cut with it, so therefore Rashi says that it's not, you are in fact excused if you didn't notice it yesterday, and that's why on yantiv itself, you're allowed to sharpen the knife. Certainly it sounds like that this psak of Rav Yosef is going in accordance with Rav Yehuda, and it certainly would seem to indicate that if you follow like Rav Yehuda, so then you can go with this psak of Rav Yosef. If on the other hand, we do not follow like Rav Yehuda, so it sounds like you can't go like this psak of Rav Yosef. Just more to think about. Continuing in the Gemara. Darz Rav Chista v'yitem Rav Yosef, echad sakin shenifkama v'echad shpud shenirtsam v'echad greifas tanor v'kirayim v'yomtov banal ha-machlokas Rav Yehuda v'rabanan. So if I have a knife that gets nicked on yontov, or a spit where the top of the spit broke, or an oven where it needs a grefa, needs to be scraped. So all these are categories of machshirei ochel nefesh, and whether they would be allowed in yantiv. So that's going to be a machlokes between Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim. Detanya, and here now for the second time today, we get to go through the machlokes. Ein ben yantiv l'shabbos al ochel nefesh b'avad. The only difference between yantiv and Shabbos is ochel nefesh. Rav Yehuda matiaf machshirei ochel nefesh. And Rav Yehuda allows for machshirei ochel nefesh ma'itamit l'tanakama. Oh. And so now in the Amud Beis of today's daf, so we get to dive a little bit deeper and go through the various shitas. What's the reason behind the tanakama? Amakra, hu levado yaseh lechem, hu velo machshirov. So the pasuk says that it, meaning only ochel nefesh can be done, not machshirei ochel nefesh. That's the word hu. Hu is a miut, it's a limitation. Rav Yehuda amar kra lachem, lachem l'chotzar chechem. On the other hand, within that same pasuk, Rav Yehuda is focusing on the word lachem. And lachem means to tell me that you could do whatever you want, whatever is necessary to be done, including machshirei ochel nefesh. V'tanakama haksev lachem. Now, what does the Tanakh do with the word lachem? So amar lacha, hahu lachem, v'lo l'nachrim. Lachem is telling me that I can cook on yantiv, but only for a Jew, not for a non-Jew, like we discussed earlier in the Masechta. V'idach nami haksev hu. Now, according to Rav Yehuda, what do you do with the word hu, which is in fact a limitation? So am lacha ksiv hu v'ksiv lachem. So Rav Yehuda says, what do you mean? That the words hu and lachem actually work in concert with one another. V'lo kasha kam b'machshirin she'ef shalasos ha'mer v'yantav, kam b'machshirin she'ef shalasos ha'mer v'yantav. And the balance between the word hu and lachem is the following. If I have machshirin that could not have been done prior to yantav, so that is the word lachem. Lachem tells me that those are the kinds of activities that can be done on yantav itself. On the other hand, machshirin she'efshar la'asos l'meir of yantiv, any machshir that could have been done before yantiv, so that falls under the category of who, which you cannot do. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel Shpo Shenirtsav Aser L'Sakno B'Yamtov. Gemara quotes a psak by Shmuel, which is that if I have a spit that is bent, you cannot unbend it. You can't straighten it out on yantiv. Pshita Lo Sricha D'Afagav D'Mifsha B'Yaden. The Gemara says at this point in time it's obvious, meaning that is not a that is not an ochel nefesh. It is machshire ochel nefesh. So the Gemara says, assuming that we followed like the shita of the Chachamim, isn't it a dever pashut? So the Gemara says, not necessarily. It could very well be that we're not talking about a really thick piece of metal. You could just simply strain out with your hands. One could make the argument that that's not really considered a tikkun, in that if you're just fixing it with your hand, you don't need an instrument to do so. So it's not a real malacha. The Gemara says, no. Even under those circumstances, it's going to be usur. You have a spit in which you roasted meat after you finished roasting, so then you cannot move it on yantav. Rashi says it's a function of muksa machmas miyus. It's just simply disgusting. After you finish roasting it, and now you no longer plan on using it in order to as a spit for your food, and so now you basically have left it in the corner, so it is muksa machmas miyus. So Rav Adabrava Amar Rav Malkio Shomto Umanicha Bekaren Zavis. So the Gemara quotes, in the name of Rav Malkio, that what you're allowed to do is you're allowed to put it into the corner of your house. Rashi Shomto Melefanav Maher Begreira V'Tilto Menatzad Ad Shiavir Melefanav Lekaren Zavis. So Rashi says that using Tilto Menatzad, meaning not moving it with your hands, but moving it with your foot or some other body part other than your hands, so you can now move it and kick it into the corner. Now, within this halacha of Rav Malkio, so the Amoraim debate. According to one position, you can only move it, but only when it has a kezayis baser. So now its moving can be legitimized through the fact that there's a piece of meat still connected to it. Ravina amar afa pisha ein alav baser mutalatatolo. Midi dehavei akotz berushus rabim. And Ravina says, not necessary. Meaning, even if there's no meat on it, still you can move it to the corner of your house, based on the fact that it's a hazard. The spit over here is a sharp instrument. If I leave it just simply in the middle of the house, so someone can easily go ahead and trip over it, and so therefore, in order to avoid the hazard, so one could just simply move it over to the side, tiltu minatzad, and you could do the same thing with kotz b'rishus harabim. If, let's say, you have anything which is hazardous in the rishus harabim, so you could just simply kick it to the side so that no one gets injured. Am rav chinah b'rei d'rav ikar shpoch shfachos v'gumos rav malkio. Bloris Afer Mikla Vigvina Rav Malkia. So the Gemara over here gives over six halachas. We're not going to go through all six halachas right now. In fact, we're not going to go through any of the six halachas right now. But just know that there are six halachas. Three of them are attributed to Rav Malkio, and three of them are attributed to Rav Malkia. And the Gemara taking a lot of painstaking precision in terms of making sure that we have proper attribution of who said what. So therefore, the Gemara over here tells us that the correct Mesorah, at least according to Rabbi Chanina, is that Rav Malkio is responsible for the first three halachas. Rav Malkia is responsible for the last three halachas. The reason why this comes up over here is because one of the halachas of Shpod happens to be the topic in which we're discussing. Meaning moving the spit to the side after usage on Yantiv, despite the fact that it's Muksa Machmas Mias, but because it's a hazard, so therefore one is allowed to move it to the side, Tilto Minatzad. And the Gemara says that the correct attribution over here is that it's Rav Malkio. Rav Papa Amar Masisa Masnisa Rav Malkia Shmaitita Rav Malkio. Now on this, meaning on the six halachas that we just went through, so Rav Malkia is of the position, Rav Papa is of the position that anytime that it's a comment on either Mishnah or Braisa, that's Rav Malkia with an aleph. Anytime it is an independent Amoraitic statement, that is Rav Malkio. And just as a good mnemonic to help remember, so you say that the braisas are the king, masnisan makasa, and just focusing on the letter aleph, so that is a good indication that if you have either a mishnah or a braisa, or a comment, I should say, rather on a mishnah and a braisa, so that's Rav Malkia. Now, what it would require right now, and again, I'm just simply not going to go through all this right now, is to go over the six halachas and just simply to highlight which one's going on a Mishnah, which one's going on a Braisa, which one's an independent statement. And without getting lost in all these details, important details, but without getting lost in them, Misimancha, Masisa, Makasa, Maibinayu, Kepenayu, Shvachos. So the Gemara now notes that the difference between the way Rav Papa's recording it and the way that Rav Chinana reports it is that the difference is going to be Shvachos. The Shvachos, this I'll go over quickly. The halacha is that when a woman gets married, so there are certain responsibilities that she has within the household. things that she is required by ksuva to take care of in the household. If, on the other hand, she goes into the marriage with shvachim shvachos, with a workforce, she's a wealthy woman, and she has a lot of servants that comes with her into the marriage, so it reduces her responsibility, as the shvachos can take care of a number of things. However, as quoted by either Rav Makiel, depending on which version you have, even if she has 100 shvachos, nevertheless, she's still required to take care of some basic tasks within the house. Otherwise, she'll be idle. And the Gemara over there says that the idle hands are simply not a good thing. So the Gemara says it's actually much stronger than the way I just said it. But anyway, that's a halacha over there, shvachos. So depending on whether or not you go with version number one, version number two, it will then affect whether or not it is B'Shem Rav Malkiel or Rav Malkiel. Anyway, but all of this comes in, number one, just to give us proper attribution, and number two, because we just come off the heels of a discussion in the Gemara of whether or not we follow the halakha of Rav Malkiel, that the spit after it's used on Shabbos, after it's used on Yontif, so you are in fact allowed to move it, but only under the circumstance where it's posing a hazard, and you're moving it tiltum and outside, you're kicking it to the side. Let's just do one more Mishnah before we conclude. The Mishnah on the very bottom of Chav Ches Amud Beis. Lo yomar adam letavach shkoli bediner basar. Aval shochet u'mechalek b'neihem. So, similar to where we started off this morning. No, not this morning, but you understand. Similar to where we started off the daf, a person can say to the butcher, give me a dinar's worth of meat. But rather, what you could do is you can go ahead and you can ask for a percentage of the meat. And again, going back to what we discussed at the very beginning of the daf, in that on Yontif itself, you can't mention price. The only thing you could do on Yontif, like we discussed at the very beginning, is simply offer a comp animal. In other words, if the price has not already been established before Yontif, so then on Yontif itself, you just simply establish what would be a comparable animal. That animal will be held till after Yontif, and then the after Yontif will figure out what the price of that animal is, and you'll pay whatever percentage it is that you took of it. So this Mishnah over here, just simply repeating the idea that we saw earlier, that you can't mention the price, however, mechalek b'neihem, but you can take a percentage of the animal. Hechi avid. Now the Gemara's question over here really succinctly stated, the way Rashi understands it, you see the bottom Rashi over here, so kishein or salikach kol habehema v'lo mechze v'lo shlish v'lo revia, ele bediner v'shtayim ma'yomer lo. So the way Rashi understands the Gemara here, is that, look, you don't want a whole animal. You don't even want a half of an animal. Not a third, not a quarter. Meaning right now, you just simply want a piece, right? For the vast majority of us, when we go to the butcher, so we're not getting any kind of percentage of an animal. We're just simply coming home with a couple of pieces of meat. So if you're doing this on Yontif, so how do you go about it? That's the Gemara's question. And the Gemara's answer is as follows. Hechi avid. So ki had the besura. So the Gemara says that in the town of Sura, amri tarte upage tarte, meaning, there are certain terms that people are familiar with where you're mentioning a piece of meat. Everyone understands the basic size of that piece of meat. It then allows you to talk about a standard piece of meat without actually mentioning a price. Assuming that the prices are pretty standardized, so then you'll figure out the price after Yontif. So in Surah, you could say Tarta, you could say Pagel Tarta. In the town of Narosh, Arme Chilko, Pagel Chilka. These are just simply terms that are popular in the various communities in Bavel. In Pumbedisa, Amre Uzia, Upaga Uzia, terms that are popular in Pumbedisa, Benar Pekod, Bemasa Mechasia, in the towns of both Nar Pekod and Masa Mechasia, Amre Riva, Upaga Riva, you could use the terms Riva and Paga Riva. Adkan takes us to the end of Chaf Ches. As a quick recap, there are two basic topics that were covered over the course of the daf. Okay. Starting all the way in Chaf Zayin and Beis, so we talked about not mentioning the price of an animal. And if, in fact, you want to make a purchase of an animal on Yontif, so the price should be established already before Yontif. On the Mishnah and Chav Ches Amud Aleph, so how do you measure weight? Machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, machlokes of the Amoraim, exactly to what degree when the Chachamim say that you cannot use a scale at all, what does that mean? You can't use a scale at all. And a comparison between the positions of of Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim, as opposed to a third Shita, which we didn't see in the Mishnah, but we saw in a Braisa, of that of Rabbi Yoshua. Rabbi Yoshua allows one on Yontif to measure one piece of meat against another piece of meat. And we saw that a number of Tanaim, notably Rabbi Chia and Rabbi Shimon Rabbi, do follow the position of Rabbi Yoshua. And then a discussion in the Gemara whether or not the Mishnah B'charos is actually telling us that the halacha is in fact like Rabbi Yoshua. Next part of our daf, which really covers the majority of the daf today, is sharpening a knife. Sharpening a knife on Yontif is mutter or aser. So in the Mishnah, machlokas. Well, not perfectly accurate. In the Mishnah, a distinction to be made between the sharpening the knife against a millstone, or as opposed to sharpening a knife one against another, using the two knives to sharpen each other's blade. The Mishnah allows the latter, prohibits the former. And then a discussion in the Gemara in terms of what exactly is being allowed and prohibited in the Mishnah. The Gemara then takes a step backwards and introduces us to a basic machlokes between Rav Yehuda and the Chacham and whether Machshir Ochel Nefesh is in fact allowed in Yontif. According to Rav Yehuda, it's allowed, but only for that which is E Efshar, Lasos Amir of Yontif. And according to the Chachamim, no Machshir Ochel Nefesh is allowed on Yontif. Therefore, the Gemara points out that the sharpening of the knife, which the Mishnah may allow in Yontif, again, the Mishnah itself is not super clear, but if in fact one would be allowing the sharpening of the knife, it's because they're following the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. On the other hand, according to the Chachamim, one would not be allowed to sharpen the knife on Yontif. The Gemara on the Amud Beis goes through a series of psaks, psakim regarding some of the Amoraim in terms of where they stand on the Machlokas of Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. And as pointed out, there certainly is an ambivalence in the Gemara itself in terms of whether or not the Halacha is in fact like Rabbi Yehuda or not like Rabbi Yehuda. We saw a number of Amoraim who privately passed like Rabbi Yehuda, but publicly would not give that position. As Rashi pointed out, the concern is that if people had Rabbi Yehuda's heter, so it would be exploited because Rabbi Yehuda has limitations, and the populace wouldn't follow necessarily the correct version of Rabbi Yehuda, making a distinction between Efshar and E Efshar. And then finally, we finished up with a couple of halachas regarding the spit, a broken spit, bent spit, and a spit after having grilled on Yontif, and moving the spit to the side. And finally, the last thing we covered, we went full circle. The Mishnah on the bottom of Chaf Chesam and Beis spoke about not talking about money amounts when buying meat. And so when the Mishnah just simply says that when you buy a piece of meat, you purchase it without mentioning a money amount, a dollar amount. And the Gemara just tried to explain, well, if you're not mentioning dollar amounts, so how do you know? And you don't want to buy a whole animal, not even a fraction of an animal. So how do you communicate with the butcher in terms of what you want? So the Gemara says basically you communicate, meaning there are ways to do so.